Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And I'm on a little bit of a paranormal kick. We haven't had the subject of UFOs for a while, but I'm still doing this paranormal stuff because it's so darn interesting, and I have a fantastic guest tonight. Hope you all enjoyed our show last week. Our guest was Judy Ann Cannizzaro, and she's actually pretty accomplished in this field of healing, alternative healing. She's a healer, an intuitive, an astrologer, and a medium, and very successful, by the way, and has a lot of witnesses or testimonials backing up her stuff. So she's quite an interesting lady and had a lot of interesting stuff to share. We had a lot of people call in. It was a lot of fun. I hope you got a chance to listen. But if you didn't remember, all the shows are archived on the BBS website. So when you get a chance, check it out. It's a lot of fun. Tonight, we're moving in a direction that I've actually never explored. So I'm really, really excited about this show tonight, because God knows we've talked about just about everything on this show, everything from werewolves, UFO abductions, alternative healing, Bigfoot. We've covered the whole field pretty far and wide, but tonight we're talking about a unique subject, one that I've heard of only briefly, but never to the extent that our guest tonight, certainly he knows a lot about the subject, and his name is Gary L. Wimmer. That's W-I-M-M-E-R, M as in mom, Gary L. Wimmer. And tonight, we're going to be talking about, get this, it's called lithomancy. L-I-T-H-O-M-A-N-C-Y, lithomancy. And lithomancy can be, I'd say, briefly defined as the psychic art of reading stones. There's all kinds of arts of divination, as I'm sure you're aware, everything from fortune-telling to throwing bones, even tea-leaf reading. This is the type of thing that we're going to be talking about tonight, but it's a unique field. It's called lithomancy, and it's the psychic art of reading stones. And our guest tonight, Gary Wimmer, has studied this deeply and has actually been practicing this for many, many years, and has become quite accomplished in this field and is really making a mark in this field. I think he's really the only guy who talks about this stuff, lithomancy. So we're very, very honored to have him onto the show tonight. I want you all to welcome our guest tonight, Gary Wimmer. Gary, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
It's my pleasure, Preston. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, you know, when I found out about you, I'm like, wow, that is interesting, because certainly I'm interested in that subject in general. I've had, you know, growing up, I was very skeptical. I didn't have any paranormal experiences at all until, let me see, it was 1984 and my mom died. And that kind of opened me up. I saw her ghost and I started having weird dreams and then got into the subjects and started having a lot of precognition and have gotten to the point sometimes where, you know, you can actually invoke it, I guess you would say, or use it for your own benefit.
You can.
So, I'm really excited about, you know, talking with you tonight, because this is a subject, you know, certainly I've talked to a lot of psychics who do card readings and things like this, but this is amazing. So how did you get involved in a subject like this? It's so
well neat. I've been interested in psychic phenomena since college. I realized that I've always had psychic flashes and intuition and hunches since I was a kid, but couldn't quite put a label on it until I got to college and started reading Edgar Casey, Madame Blavatsky, Ruth Montgomery, and things like this. And this was in the late 60s. And I began to practice things that different books said to improve your psychic ability. For example, one thing I used to do is get a deck of cards, show someone a card, and see if I could pick it up. And I noticed there's some people that I could work with very well, and some I couldn't. But the fact is, it worked, so I couldn't deny it. And being an electrical engineer in college, it kind of changed my perception about what's provable and what's not, you know. In 1980, I met a lady named Alice Wall, a very talented psychic here in Austin, Texas. And in the process of giving me several different types of readings, she read stones for me, and she said it was lithomancy, and told her I was interested in learning it, and basically she taught me, and it didn't, she taught me in a rather quick way, because there's not a whole lot you can say about it other than this is sort of the technique she uses, because it's based on intuition. It's based on, the system I use is based on 16 stones, 10 representing the planets, Sun through Pluto, and 6 representing personal stones, life, luck, love, commitment, responsibility, and place. And by dropping those into a circle, either I do it over the phone. If I do it over the phone for a person, I say, I'm ready, and they say drop whenever they feel appropriate, and I drop the stones. And if I do it in person with someone, I let them handle the stones and drop them. And then I start reading from the center of the circle, which is a circle of leather, about a foot in diameter from the center, which I consider the core issues or the core of the subject's reading, up till 12 o'clock and then around like a clock in weekly sections, and use intuition, depending on which stones land where, to intuit what's going on with the person's life and to give them advice. And I've become pretty accurate at this. Does that give you a basic idea of it?
Yeah, it's very interesting. And so, I mean, in effect, it is a lot like other methods. It's just a way that you can use to access, I guess, the area where this information is coming from.
Yeah, I think all methods are basically a system of looking at some sort of medium, which the term medium originally meant the object you're using, not the person. It meant stones or cards or tea leaves or whatever. But looking or studying, focusing on your medium and allowing that to operate as symbolism, and finding relevant meaning behind it. You can do it with anything. You can do it with nature. You can do it with numbers and license plates. You can do it with anything. It's happening all the time. We're all experiencing that all the time. Although subconsciously, we may not be aware of it. It's a subconscious process, just as natural as breathing. But we don't tune into it consciously unless we choose to, or like you, and I've had a tunnel of light experience where all of a sudden I became very aware of the fact that this is going on all the time. It's just this psychic art, or any psychic art, is basically a matter of using the symbolism and being able to draw meaning from it, because it's all one big pool of information.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting. I mean, in your bio, I mean, it says you were raised Catholic, and I'm wondering, because sometimes religion seems to conflict with these kinds of things, and sometimes it doesn't. If you look back in history with the Catholic saints, it shows there's a lot of them.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just saying that there's a lot of people in religious history who have experienced these type of psychic events, and then sometimes it's looked down upon as being, coming from the devil.
That's unfortunate. That isn't true, and it's unfortunate. I don't see a. Yes, I was raised Catholic, but at a pretty young age, I started realizing that. They've got some stuff right, but they've got a lot of holes in the theory, and so I began exploring different avenues of understanding the universe and its mechanism and God and so forth. And I started realizing that, man has his, shortcomings, I suppose, and his ways of seeing things in very simplistic black and white terms, but that doesn't necessarily mean the universe is so black and white. So, in the book I've written on lithomancy, I have a whole section on the connections between spirituality, religion, and psychic phenomena. They used to be a lot more unified. They used to be considered one field. But along the way, they became separated, and unfortunately, a lot of religious policies see it as negative, but I don't see it at all. I see it as very connected, because Christ was one of the greatest psychics ever, He was, throughout history, there's been people who have been both religious and psychic and spiritual. Unfortunately, like I say, a lot of religions haven't quite come to that realization that they're all connected. But I see no division between them, other than the fact that people divide them up themselves.
Huh, interesting. Now, you've used all these different methods, like tarot cards and astrology. Why would you prefer lithomancy? Is that right? Am I pronouncing that correct?
Lithomancy, correct.
Lithomancy. Why would you prefer that over other methods? I mean, what makes this
method? Because when I saw this method, I was familiar with astrology, and I'd learned a little bit about palmistry and tarot and so forth, but when I saw my friend Alistair use this method, it just totally intrigued me, because it covers a three-month period, reading around like a clock, and I'd never seen anything like that, never heard anything about it, so it stimulated my interest. And as I learned to do it myself and learned to give more and more readings, more and more interested in it. Now, in 2001, I began to search information about how other people did it and realized there's just virtually nothing written on it. So I pretty well wrote a book myself on what I have discovered as being a very interesting and fascinating system. And I think the thing that interests me about it a lot is it's... because the stones never land the same way twice, no matter how many cards you use, tarot or whatever, there's only so many numerological possibilities, and not necessarily with a hand, but with a something like a limited deck of cards or whatever. With this, the stones never land the same twice, so they're actually, in my opinion, at least from my experience, they're more accurate. And I found that they do land exactly where they're supposed to clearly define what's going on. That's always up to the reader to be able to interpret information out of that. But I like the free-formness of it. I like the fact that it covers a three-month period. And I also use it, for example, if I'm giving a reading for someone and I go over the three-month period, I can use the same stones and same patterns to answer questions, to talk about past lives. It's like layer upon layer upon layer of information that's embedded in the pattern that is formed by the stones. So there's more than just what meets the eye, needless to say. The free-formness of it is what I really like, the fact that it's very much based on intuition, and I don't have to really remember a whole lot except what the stones mean. The rest of it is a matter of interpretation that I or any person can develop.
Well, would you say it's a more challenging method then, since it's more kind of open-ended, open to interpretation?
I guess it's challenging in the sense that there's, one, there's not much written about it. Number two, there's you don't have a, like, for example, every stone has a particular significance, like Pluto, for example, can mean a whole lot of different things. So in one sense, its free-formness can be confusing because how do I interpret this, you know? On the other hand, if you put yourself into it, and basically like anything, you have to practice to learn how to interpret and to learn how to tap into your own psychic perception, because no two people are going to pick up the same thing. Mm-hmm. For example, the lady that taught me this, she and I have done readings for the same person just an hour apart. Completely different readers, completely different stones, completely different patterns. To see how they would how they would relate to two different readings, and everybody we did this to, they said, "Wow, you brought up one thing, and she brought up something totally different, but they're both right." So that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, it's a very revealing system, but like any system, you have to learn how to interpret it, and different people are going to interpret different things. I tend to interpret. How would I describe it? I tend to see a lot of what the person is going through, and I tend to see a lot of interrelationships between everything and the stones in one big pattern. The lady who taught me this tends to see individual episodes and incidences, but doesn't necessarily tap into the spiritual position the person is facing in their life at that time. That comes very apparent to me, what their spiritual challenges are and so forth. So everybody picks up something different, but if you learn it, they can all be valid.
Right. Well, what kind of stones are these? And does it matter what kind of stones you're using?
I don't think it matters at all because it's basically symbolism. I just have 16 stones. They're, you know, about marble size. They're different shapes, different colors. A lot of them have a like an edge on them. They're a point. I call them pointers in my book. They're not all round like marbles. Now, the sunstone and the moonstone I have are a little bit rounder, but the rest of them are just, they're all kinds of shapes and sizes, basically about a marble size. But I notice when they form a pattern, I pay quite a lot of attention to how they point to each other. And that is a strong indication of influences, energies, the direction of things, and so forth. But I lived in Europe for many years, and there's several times over there that people want me to do a reading, and I didn't have my stones with me. So I would I'd look, say we're sitting at a table, and there's a fork and a guitar string and an ashtray and a beer, and I would ask people to just arrange these things on the table in a certain way. I'd walk out of the room, and then 2 minutes later I'd come back in, and I'd read that just like it was stones. I'd use the symbolism of whatever they put in whatever place. It really doesn't matter what you use. It matters if you can draw meaning from them, and you can do it from anything, from nature, from stones, from guitar strings and ashtrays, which amazed me the first couple times I tried it, but then I started realizing. And one time I picked up a hitchhiker, and we were talking about things, and I told him I did it, and he said, hey, do it for me. I didn't have my stones on me, so we pulled over to a roadside park there, and I drew a circle with a stick in the mud, about a foot wide, and got a bunch of stones in the ground and put, like, pee on it for Pluto and S for sun and so forth, and had him drop them, and they were just gravel off the road. And sure enough, I did a reading for him just using that. So it's really just, it's not so much the stones or the methodology. It's tuning into what it can represent. It's all symbolism.
How interesting. So take us through a reading. I mean, what's going on inside your head as you're throwing these stones? And are you? Do you have the person you're giving the reading to throw the stones? Or
well, like I said, if I do it in person, I do readings both over the phone and in person. And usually a reading takes about 30 to 45 minutes, depending on the amount of time. Now, 2 months ago, I did readings for a state convention here. Did them for 2 days in Fort Worth, Texas. The ladies who hired me, I did about a 30 to 40 minute reading for them. They were quite impressed and hired me to do this. But they told me that at the convention, there was going to be, a line of 20 people, so I had to do quick 5 minute readings. So I basically condensed the whole reading system down to about 5 minutes, giving them rather quick readings as opposed to 30 minutes. An interesting side point, with that, spending that much time a day, reading probably for 60 people a day, I mean one after next, I kept thinking, oh, I'm going to get dingy, I'm going to get spacey, I'm going to lose my accuracy, and the exact opposite thing happened. Even though I had a couple cups of coffee and was a little bit hungry and my butt got a little tired, psychically, I kept getting better and better and better. It wasn't tuning into the fact that I thought I'd get dingy. It was just pouring out. But in these sort of readings, I did it very quickly, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, because I didn't have enough time. And an interesting side point on that is most of these were special ed teachers. They were 95% female, so I probably read for three or four men and about 120 women or so. And one thing I noticed when I read for women is, having grown up with six brothers, I didn't quite realize this because I had a very male testosterone-heavy family. reading for women, I always noticed that love and relationships and home and things like that stand out and connect to things much more holistically than they do for a man, which we tend to compartmentalize and separate. But in women's readings, all the time I see the connection, the interrelatedness of things as opposed to the disconnectedness and the ability to separate and categorize that men basically have. Was that the question?
yeah, to a certain extent. When you start getting this information, what if you get like bad news? Do you tell everything that you're getting, or
I tell everything I'm getting? And I've been asked that question many a time. And fortunately, I found out when I first started doing these readings that I'm always, the way the pattern lays out, it always shows me the light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm never stuck with having to be the bearer of bad news without some positive resolution. If that were the case, I wouldn't do it. I mean, who wants to do that? Excuse me just a second. But the patterns always indicate the long-term growth, the positive outcome. And yes, I've warned people about deaths and catastrophes and some unpleasant stuff, but I always see the seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And it seems like they take it pretty well, because the light at the end of the tunnel seems to give faith and hope and so forth. You asked a minute ago, and this is the question I think you'd asked, is what I've experienced and what I feel. It's sort of hard to put my finger on it. I watch the stones while I'm reading. I let them talk to me. I feel words. I feel impressions. I see things. They're not flashing lights. They're subtle. But I allow that subtlety to almost like take over and put the words in my mouth. So I let it sort of guide me. Like I said, as I'm doing the reading, most of the time I'm just looking at the stones, or I look up into space somewhere on some like focus on a point on the wall, just to allow myself to pick up things with sort of, what do you call it, free association. But the messages come subtle. They seem to, as I watch a stone, it seems to have one layer of meaning, then perhaps another, then perhaps another. And say I'm in the first week, I maybe say Uranus and the love stone are there. It may be implying a bunch of changes in love. Then all of a sudden I may be drawn over to a stone that's way over in the side, and it may say something else about it. Even though I'm still in the first week in the first section of between like 12 and 1 on a clock, I allow the other stones to, I guess the word would be interrupt or put in their input.
Right. So
that's the free-form nature of it. But what I actually experience is rather, it's subtle, but it's there. Because like most psychic phenomena, except for a few experiences like you've had and other people have had and I've had that are very profound, this sort of art is usually pretty subtle. But it's there. And to tune into that subtlety is the art.
Right. Now, when you're doing a reading over the phone as opposed to in person, how do you deal with the difference of, I mean, does the person throw the stones themselves if they're doing a face-to-face reading with you? And what if it's over the phone? How do you?
Well, if it's over the phone, what I do is I usually refer them to my website and see if they know what I'm doing. Sometimes they haven't seen it, so that's fine. I just explain to them real briefly what I'm doing to give them sort of a visual picture as best I can. Then I hold the stones over the circle of leather that I have on a piece of green felt, and I rub them. I charge them. I, you know, kind of put my energy into them or erase what energy's been into them before. And I hold them about, because I know the physics of how hard they're going to land on the surface. I don't want them to bounce all over. So I know about how high to drop them to get a reasonable distribution. And I move my hands around the pattern, and then when I feel like I'm connected, I say I'm ready. And I have that person say drop anytime they want to, whether it's a couple seconds later or 10 or 15 or 20 seconds later. And then I drop them, and I immediately just start reading. I start from the center and go out to the 12 o'clock position, then around like a clock. And as far as, I can't really compare if I do them in person or over the phone, because I don't do them back to back in person and over the phone. But either way, it seems to work. I obviously don't ask any questions before the reading. I may or may not ask a question during the reading just to confirm something. But usually stuff comes pretty clear, so I don't really have to ask any questions. And I'd rather, I always tell people, if you want to ask me a question before, fine, but I'd rather just do the reading cold, and then I'll probably answer your question in some form or another. And if I didn't answer it, you can ask it, and I can refer back to the stones that happen to represent that. For example, if it's a business situation, I would look to the commitment stone. If it's a love situation, I'd look at the love stone or Venus and Mars, which tend to represent male and female. If it was a situation that had to do with transformation or some heavy that someone's trying to get over, I'd consider the Pluto stone. But I like to do a cold reading without knowing anything about the person. I don't need to know, and I'd rather not know, because that way I'm not depending on anything consciously.
Right.
At the same time, I do readings for people I know pretty well, but no matter how well I know them, I still rely on the input I get. Now, true, if I know someone has a brother named Joe, it'd be foolish for me not to, if I feel Joe's talking, I could very easily say, yes, it has to do with your brother or whatever. So don't disavow what I know about them, but I surely don't depend upon it.
Right. Well, you use 16 stones. Why 16?
Well, 10 representing Sun, Moon, Mars, Venus, Jupiter, Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, Saturn, and the other six are called personal stones. It's the method I learned and the method I just am familiar with. Now, sometimes I put in another stone or two if someone has a particular issue they want me to put in a separate stone for. I will do that. I've also read for other people through the person I'm reading for. For example, if I'm doing a reading for you and you want me to tell you about your mother, I could do that through the stones. I just interpret them that way. I've even done it for a couple writers about stories. I'm a writer as well, but originally someone tried this 25 years ago and said, I want to ask you another thing. And I said, well, who's this about? I said, can't tell you, but just try to do the reading. So I did, and turned out I was doing a reading for the characters in the story the person had in mind. And sure enough, they were very interesting, because I gave them a bunch of tips upon character development and plots and so forth that I didn't even know were that until later. They said, wow, you hit on this and this and this, and I've got to this point. You gave me information about this that I wasn't even aware of. That's right. This person would be doing that. And that, so it's a versatile art. It can tap into a lot of different levels, far beyond just the 3-month things that are going on in the person's life, or someone else's life for that matter.
Right. Would you say it works better if you don't know about the person that you're reading for? I mean, can you read for your family?
I don't necessarily feel the least bit handicapped if I don't know anything about the person who've never met them. It's if I needed that information, it wouldn't be psychic. It would be right. It would be trying to second guess. So I don't care if I know the person or not, because basically I'm going to tune into the system that I know works and that I know that other people can learn. And I'm going to depend on that, because it's proven over and over and over and over to work. So, like I said, I may ask a question or two just to substantiate something. For example, I may be looking at the Venus stone and may feel a daughter. Do you have a daughter? You know? And they may say, well, I have two daughters. And I think, okay, well, this is about the daughter that blah, blah, blah. I didn't necessarily pick up they had two daughters. I might sometimes. I don't know exactly what I'm going to pick up. And people always ask me before I do a reading. They say, what are you going to tell me? And I said, I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. That's why I have to read, you know. I mean, and I also tell everybody that nobody's 100% accurate. You couldn't be. If everybody was 100% accurate with everything, we'd have no free will. It's basically looking at the situation as it's in play now and the most likely scenarios to take place. But usually those pretty well fall into play. But as far as knowledge of the person, no, I don't really need it. I don't depend on it. I depend on what I pick up by watching the stones, by allowing the universe to give me the information. And I found that you can trust the universe to do that, and it will.
Well, what does your family think about what you do? Do you do readings for them as well?
I've done a reading for a couple of my brothers, but with six brothers, they're all businessmen. They're not necessarily conservative, but they're not really into psychic phenomena. I'm the only one who's been an artist. I've been a musician my whole life. I'm also an actor and a writer, and I've been into this sort of thing for years. And in 1977, I had a tunnel of light experience that proved to them how just off the wall I am. So they look at me as rather off the wall character. They love me, but they're not into this sort of thing, which is ironic. They're not into music either. I mean, it's strange to have six brothers and none of them into music, and I've been a musician my whole life. But they're very successful businessmen, and I don't have that gene, you know. I was born with a completely different set of them.
It's funny you say that, because I have three older brothers, an older sister, and a younger sister, and, you know, they accept what I do, but they're not really that into it. You know, they're just not. And half of them don't believe it. They're skeptical.
Oh, I have people say that all the time. They say, I don't believe in this, and I always pick up something that's next to me, and I say, you don't have to believe in gravity, and I drop the object and say, but it works. It does not require your belief to be true. You know, you can believe the world's flat. That doesn't mean it is flat. So, yeah, people can not believe in a lot of things, but unfortunately they're depriving themselves of seeing the vastness of the universe, the connections between everything, the interrelatedness between everything, because the more you say that doesn't exist or I don't believe that. People ask me what I believe. I say I believe everything. It either exists or someone else believes it, so in their world it's true. Now, whether I necessarily agree with it or not is something else. But, for example, I don't believe in the concept of hell. I think hell is what we put ourselves through on this planet and probably maybe perhaps what we put ourselves through if we don't, in our transition to the other life, we don't grab onto good principles and come back and correct them. But as far as a place that burns forever, like the Catholic Church taught it, and unfortunately a lot of religions still believe, and that's an allegory for the good and evil within ourselves. There's not a place that God's going to burn us forever. No God's going to do that. Why? What kind of ego trip would that be?
Right.
We set ourselves up for our own lessons, you know, and that's enough.
I'm right there with you. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett. And tonight, our guest is Gary L. Wimmer, W-I-M-M-E-R, Gary L. Wimmer. And we're talking about his specialty, which is called lithomancy. And what lithomancy is if you missed the beginning of the show, is the psychic art of reading stones. Very interesting stuff. It's very much like tarot or palmistry or any other tea leaf reading, but it's unique. And I want to remind everyone out there that this is a call-in show, so if you would like to ask a question of our guest or if you have an experience you'd like to share yourself, please give us a call. I'm going to give out the toll-free number right now. It's 888 228-4494. Once more, in case you didn't have your pen ready, 888-228-4494. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Gary, you had this tunnel of light experience in 1977, and then I guess it was in 1980 you met this lady who was doing this.
Correct.
I think those experiences were related in any way? I mean, did having that tunnel of light experience open you up to, in any way, to psychic phenomena?
Did it ever open me up? It was the most amazing thing in my life. It's the most incredible experience. I mean, there's just nothing that could be more profound than that, and I feel extremely fortunate for having gone through it. Yes, it not only opened me up, but when I met this lady, Alice, she confirmed to me several things about it and, of course, further stimulated my interest in psychic phenomena and taught me this technique, which, of course, has turned into a sort of a lifelong interest and cause. You know, I want to expand the knowledge of this technique. I can tell you a little bit about the experience I had. It was rather interesting.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'll give you the short story. I wrote a book about it called A Second Eternity. Basically what happened is I've always been psychic and so forth, always had feelings and intuitions, but, I was in a band traveling on the road and I quit the band and decided to live in Austin for a while. And, the very evening I quit the band, came back to my house, I noticed I started picking up things that everybody was about to say before they'd say it. And I thought, this is kind of strange, but it kept happening over and over and over. Now everybody gets those feelings, but just didn't stop. And I tried to sleep that night and couldn't. I kept having more and more feelings about all sorts of things, feeling like there was a web that was connecting me to everything in the universe. The next day, my roommate comes in from outside with a paper in his hand, and he's reading the headlines, and I saw the paper through his eyes. He dropped it on the table, and I just about gagged. I thought, wow, this is Jimmy. It had an article about Jimmy Carter. This was 1977.
Right.
And right on the headlines, and I thought, that's strange. So more and more of these things start happening. That night, we went to a club here in town, and I was sitting on the bar just watching the door, and I noticed right before the door would open, people would come in. Right before they'd come in, I would see them, how they were dressed and what they looked like, and they'd come through, and I'd think, wow, I just saw them a second ago like I was standing outside. And I tried this again, and it kept happening. And by this time, I was kind of getting used to this phenomena. I couldn't quite remember what it was like to not have it just 24 or 48 hours later. My friend came over and asked me what was going on. I explained to him, and he said, well, do it again. So I did it three or four times, and it just completely baffled him, and he walked off. The next day, things got stranger and stranger and stranger, and I started feeling like I was being monitored by something, someone, something, going through some sort of test or challenge. But again, it started escalating faster and faster. I was picking up all sorts of things about everything, you know. Strangers would come over, friends would come over, and I'd know everything that had happened to them that day. I couldn't cut this off. I'd walk down the street, and I could, people would pass me. I'd know all about what's going on in their life and why, and I kept thinking, what is going on? Did I ask for this? Did I tune into this? Well, it got so intense that by the fifth and sixth day, I was teetering between the most profound ecstasy, because I felt like, wow, this is a great power, and incredible fear. But I couldn't imagine what it was like to have this experience, to not have this. It had become so profound, and I was getting kind of concerned, and people around me getting pretty concerned. Actually, they were trying to slip me a Quaalude or something to put me asleep, because I was going through several nights without sleep. And I kept feeling like if I fell asleep, the whole universe would collapse. At one time, I felt like I was the second coming of Christ, and I thought, well, that's pretty interesting, being born as a musician in Austin, Texas, not knowing this. Wait a minute, I can't handle this. This is too heavy. So the span of thoughts and concepts that went through my mind, plus the constant bombardment of psychic awareness about everything, literally started just driving me crazy. At the same time, I felt great. So at about the sixth day of this, and it got so intense, I'll give you one example of what happened. We're about the fourth or fifth day, my two roommates and I are talking, and I'm explaining to them that if you could turn off pain, if you could control the synapses in your brain, you could have complete control over pain. You wouldn't feel pain. And he said, yeah, well, you hadn't been to Vietnam and seeing people with their guts blown out, blah, blah, blah. We had some water on the stove that was boiling for tea, and I looked over at that water, and the water said, no, prove it to him. So I picked up this boiling water and poured it over my head. Now, people don't do that sort of thing. But to me, it seemed perfectly natural at the time, and my two roommates just flipped out. I didn't even get burned. I didn't feel it. It was the same temperature as my body. And it didn't even occur to me that it was something weird to do. The next day I'm at a restaurant. There is a moral to this. It's leading up to something. The next day at a restaurant, just to give you a couple experiences, I asked my friend, I was explaining to him what was going on, and he was very concerned. And he said, what's it like? And I said, well, you know, I pointed to two ladies. I nodded my head to two ladies way over in the far end of the restaurant. I said, do you know either of them? He said, no, why do you? I said, no, but I'm going to have the brunette write me a letter. And all during, while we're eating, I kept thinking about, write me a letter, write me a letter, write me a letter. Didn't walk by there, didn't look that way again. And when they came by to pay their bills, she threw a napkin down the table and said, why are you doing this to me? And I had instances like that over and over and over. I was sitting at a pool hall with my friend and describing to him what was going on. And he said, well, what's happening now? And I looked around to the two guys playing pool. And I said, the guy's going to shoot the six ball, the five ball, the three ball. The waitress is going to come up. He's going to tip her a dollar. She's going to ask her name, blah, blah, blah. And then we both turned around to watch it, and it unfolded exactly as I'd seen just seconds before. And I was not amazed at this anymore. It seemed like the normal way things were going. But he was getting very concerned. Other people getting very concerned. So by the sixth day, I was walking. I just had to get out of the house. I was walking down the street. I was in the middle of praying and crying. I was scared to death. At the same time, I was so elated. And then these monitors that I'd felt, these sort of guardian angels, they appeared over me. And they asked me if I trusted them, and I said yes. And before I knew it, I was involved in a head-on collision as a pedestrian. A car hit me going 60 miles an hour. I was thrown into the air, but in a split second, I was out of my body. And then I started expanding like a balloon, going out in all different directions. And the whole, I felt like planets and galaxies were going inside of me. I wasn't going out like an arrow. I was going out like a balloon, all directions simultaneously. I had no awareness of me, of Earth, of existence. It was just a sensation of infinite expansion. And within a split second, I went through this tunnel of light. And it was just awesome. And I found myself coming out of the other side of this tunnel of light in what I describe as the mind of God. It was the most peaceful, beautiful, infinite experience I could ever imagine. I couldn't ever imagine. I didn't know people could even see this or go there and come back. And it was perfect peace, perfect harmony. There was no questions in all questions. There was no creation in all creations. There was no possibilities in all possibilities. There was everything and nothing. It was completely beyond description. And as soon as I noticed I was witnessing that, I was separated from it. I was drawn back through this tunnel of light. I had no idea of who I was or where I was going, but all of a sudden, the closer I got to Earth, again, as the balloon collapsed, I saw a body laying in the middle of the street in Austin, Texas, and realized, hey, I have some connection with that. And poof, I'm back in that body. And there's a driver hovering, and we're scared to death. You know, man, I didn't mean to hit you, blah, 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 blah. He was scared to death. Well, I just, from where I'd been, this was insignificant. So I jumped to my feet and started talking. And, you know, within no time, there was police and ambulance and everything else. So the story gets stranger from there. But 6 months later,
right.
I was...
Were you hurt?
Not at all. Didn't get a scratch. I got sued for $600 damage to the guy's car, and this is 1977. No, I didn't feel a thing. I did not feel a thing. Didn't even get a scratch. They took me to the hospital, and nobody could understand why I didn't get scratched, and I kept saying because I knew I wouldn't, you know. These monitors somehow explained to me I wouldn't. They had implied to me they're about to take me on a venture. I asked them what was going on. They said, you're about to see. Do you trust us? I said, yes, and bam.
Wow.
6 months later, I was playing my guitar on the porch trying to make sense of all this. I knew what I experienced. There was no doubt there. It's taken me 25, 30 years, and I still see pictures from that episode about things that happened now and have happened in my life since then. For example, I saw a huge economic collapse, and I thought that would happen in 1987 with Reagan and the savings and loans things, but nope, what I saw just happened last year. I saw this in 1977. So I still to this day see pictures of what I saw as I re-collapsed from the expanding balloon into the street in Austin. So it took me a while to try to grasp not what happened, but why. And it's 6 months later, these monitors, they didn't appear physical this time. I didn't actually see them, but they came by and they, like a laser, they shot this information into me, and then they left. And the information was basically, we took you there because you've wanted to see the other side. You've always been curious. We had to let you build up your psychic phenomena, your psychic ability and awareness such that you would be able to understand it, come back, be able to speak about it, be able to make sense of it. And because of the shock and the transition, I would need to be grounded, which brought about the fact that I was taken to the hospital and so forth. And it finally made sense to me why it happened. I had brought it upon myself by my own curiosity of wanting to see the other side, not even knowing that one could do it, as you've written in your book.
Right.
I didn't even know I was setting myself up for this. You, as you wrote in your book, you learned techniques to know how to bring this upon yourself. I didn't know at the time I was bringing it upon myself. I didn't know what was happening. I just know that I was getting so psychic about everything, and I was 100% right on, and I was far beyond pain or on any level. No sleep for 6 days, I'm sure, had something to do with it. But what I experienced was sure worth the price, because I couldn't have imagined that people could have this experience, see what is out there, come back, and still be alive. Completely blew my mind. To this day, it blows my mind. So, in essence, I feel extremely fortunate for being taken along on that journey. And completely changed my awareness of everything. And that affirmed to me my psychic ability, which, of course, everybody has. You know, everybody is psychic. It's just some of us tune into it.
Well, it's interesting that this experience opened you up, because that's something that's happened with a lot of other people. Having a near-death type experience just totally opens people up. I think there's something about just going to the astral planes. All that
very true.
That does it.
Right. It is happening more and more because, in my opinion, we're all psychically, spiritually connected, and it's our beginning. It's our fate. In this period of our of evolution on this planet, it's part of what the next step in our evolution is. It's the second coming of Christ. It's the new age. It's the awareness of things at levels far beyond that which only our five senses tune into. It's the sixth sense becoming everybody becoming aware of it. And boy, we can use it. It's the only way we're going to find peace and harmony in our world, you know, and to get beyond our selfishness and our egos.
Right, absolutely. So when you met this lady, Alice Worrell?
Correct.
Did she tell you where she learned this art of listening?
She learned it from, I think she learned it from a, either Japan, yeah, Japanese master. She learned it from a Japanese master. And I'm not sure where he learned it. It's not a very well-known art, like I said. And I wrote a book about it primarily because I couldn't find any information about how other people do it. I can't find an expert out there that has any knowledge of it, so I'm going to try to, you know, distribute my information about it. But yeah, she learned it in, pretty sure it was Japan. She was over there working for the army. She's a very gifted psychic, and she learned that and basically has taught me and a couple other people, but there's not that many people that I don't think she's had some lessons to teach people about it, but I think they kind of learn it one day and kind of just ignore it the next. For me, it just completely fascinated. And she taught me a basic system, and I've learned, I've made my own personal adaptations to it through both doing readings and mostly through doing readings. It's a process of discovering other techniques. Because as I look at the pattern of stones, there's 16 stones laying in a circle, and I see them as all connected, all interrelated, and able to bounce from stone to stone to stone, and as I was saying earlier, different layers of almost like layers of truth, layers of reality. Some I can go into past lives, I can connect to other people. The basic pattern I use sort of as a template for the first, for the next 3 months, but it doesn't limit to just that. Just exploring the next 3 months, I've used to tap into all sorts of things. So she learned it from a Japanese master, and is the only person I've known. Her and I are the only person who actually use this method. And that's sort of the reason I want to get this information out, teach a lot of other psychics how to use it. It's a fascinating method, and it's extremely versatile. Like I said, I've used it for other people. I've used it to help writers with books. I've all sorts of things. I just tune into it and use the same stones to pick up information.
Well, where did you get the stones that you used? Did you get them yourself?
Actually, she had a friend who owns a store here, a New Age store, and about 20 years ago, probably about 20, 30 years ago. 30 years ago when I first learned it, she gave me a whole bunch of stones. About 20 years ago, she gave me another bag of them. So I probably have, I don't know, 40, 50 stones, and I've chosen 16 out of there that I've used. And sometimes, like, a stone may break, for example, and then I'll use another stone. And just dropping them over and over and over, eventually one of them might crack, which happens. So I'll find another stone to replace it. And what I did originally when I first had the 16 stones, I'd put a little, like a piece of scotch tape on it and put a P on it, so it's Pluto, so I'd remember which one are which. And then, of course, after, you know, a couple of days of using them, I remember what they are. And of course, don't need a label on them anymore. I was doing psychic readings at a festival about 3 months ago, and for some reason, the life stone bounced off the table and went somewhere, and I looked all around for it and couldn't find it, so I replaced it with another stone. So sometimes I replace stones. But as I was saying earlier, it really doesn't matter which stone you use. I tend to want to have certain stones that point. Mars, for example, is a good stone that points because it represents male energy and very directed energy. But every stone I use, I've learned to see things in it that I can focus on. For example, one time I was doing a reading and I noticed the Venus stone has these little rivers in it. And the way they divided up was giving me a lot of insight into the woman's children. It had two rivers one way and one the other, and I immediately saw that she had two daughters and a son. And by looking at those little rivers, I was able to tune into her kids.
Wow.
So I actually look at the stones and let them draw me in and give me information. Sometimes I notice things about them I've never even noticed before. But it's a continuously, I'm always learning more about it, as everybody does once they turn into their subconscious and their psychic ability. It's a constant expanding field.
So would you say that you're getting better as time goes on?
Yes, I certainly think I'm getting better. I'm learning more about the technique. I'm certainly learning more about the versatility in the stones. And I let them talk to me. For example, when I was doing readings for this convention a couple months ago, I was doing pretty fast, but I remember one lady in particular. The first thing I noticed at the very top was the place stone had landed on top of the Pluto stone, which meant the Pluto stone tends to represent everything from revolution to transformation to things coming to the surface. It can be a heavy stone. It can also be a transformative stone. Excuse me. But when the place stone landed on top of it, the first thing I felt is something's really heavy going on in her house. And I asked her, I said, is your husband either violent or depressed? And she said both. I asked that because I wanted confirmation. Is this what this is about? And of course, the rest of the reading was about that. That's the main thing on her mind. And immediately it came out the very first thing I saw. So seeing that, like I said, I don't usually ask questions, but I asked her first. I wanted to make sure because I felt like something is causing chaos at your house, and I felt like it was her husband. And when she said yes, both, it's like, okay, that's what I felt. So I was able to proceed through the reading and give her a lot of information about how to deal with this situation. Boy, did she feel relieved. And, of course, I felt good by being able to help her. Ironically, I can't read stones for myself, you know. I can't separate my subconscious from my conscious long enough. If I want to do readings for myself, I take a deck of cards and I cut them and let them short bursts of inspiration and intuition hit me. But trying to read stones and separate my conscious from my subconscious for myself for 15, 20, 30-minute periods is virtually impossible. I can do it in split seconds, and that's about it. So I can't read very well for myself. What I've done sometimes is drop the stones and take a picture of them, and then over the next several weeks see how things come out, and I couldn't have necessarily interpreted it that way, but in hindsight I could for myself, whereas for other people it's pretty easy, pretty natural now.
Wow. So you've been doing this, Gary, for like 30 years now. What would you say is your most memorable reading, or one that, you know, impressed you deeply?
Doing readings for the people, brief readings 2 months ago, 3 months ago in Fort Worth was quite an experience because I was doing them so fast and tuning in quickly. It's hard for me to say what reading really impressed me because they're all different. There's some of them that I maybe remember a little bit more about because, I don't know, maybe the person, maybe the situation. But most of them, I don't really remember it. I record them on a CD as I'm talking, and I mail the person the CD because I don't remember what I'm talking about. And someone may ask me 10 minutes later, would I repeat that? And I think, no, I can't remember what I said, but it's on the tape, you know, because I allow the words, the images, the feelings to come through me. But as far as remembering particular readings, probably the latest ones are the ones I remember most. And like I said, the one with the lady with the problem with her husband, and that was very profound because it struck me. Boy, she just sighed with relief because the first thing I nailed on was exactly what she was curious about. So when I get that sort of feeling like, boy, did I hook that fish, it makes me feel good, and I remember that. But I don't really remember much about the readings, maybe for the next 20, 30 minutes or hour or so, but after that it's pretty well gone. And that's why I record them and give them to people, because it comes and goes. And to be honest with you, I don't want to remember it all. You know, it's someone else's life. If I can be an effective conduit, fine. But beyond that, I don't want to carry around their stuff in my head. I've got my own stuff to carry around. That's plenty, you know.
All right, sure, yeah. So, how long did you, when did you start doing this professionally?
I started as soon as she gave me the course, which actually she was having a class. She was going to teach a bunch of people to do it, and it was a real rainy night, and nobody showed up but me. So I was the only one there, and she was kind of real frustrated about it, but I said, well, I want to learn. So she gave me a rather quick lesson. It was a strange night. The weather was bad. We were afraid it was going to hail and rain, so she kind of wanted to get back home, too, and I did, too. So the next day, a lady friend of mine came over, and I said, hey, I want to try this with you. And so I did, and I gave her a reading, and I realized that, wow, overnight, I all of a sudden tuned into this. I had to mark my stones to know which ones were which, but I was able to give, a fairly good reading the first time. And as I explained in my book, Someone Learning This Process, do readings for friends and people you kind of know, or people who won't be offended if you're not 100% on target, because you have to learn how to interpret them. But it was rather quickly I became aware that I could do this, and to trust what I felt. And I never know for sure if I'm right or not, but from the feedback I get from people, over the years, it's been, people have been astounded by how accurate I am. But I never claim to be 100% accurate. And I think anybody who even makes that claim is you can't be. That would mean you have no free will. But I learned it pretty quickly. It came on pretty quickly. And I think some people have more of a gift at that sort of thing, and I obviously do. But a lot of it has to do with interest. And a lot of it has to do with your motivation. You know, I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I was just seriously interested in psychic phenomena. This was a nice tool, and I didn't have to remember what all the cards meant. You know, I could, as long as I remember what the 16 stones represent, all I have to do is figure out what the patterns meaning, how the stones interconnect, how they form clusters or point to each other or separate from each other, where there's a lot of stones in one particular quadrant, like between 1 and 3, if there's a whole bunch of stones there, it more than likely means a lot of stuff's going on in the first 3 weeks. So I learned it rather quickly, and I learned my own way to read them. And everybody who learns this system, or any system for that matter, will tune into their own psychic receptivity, and it's not going to be like someone else's. They may be able to explore the same issues, but they're perspective is unique. Their receptivity is unique. So I started doing this professionally fairly soon after I learned the technique. Now, I say professionally. I wasn't doing it much for money and wasn't getting many readings. It's changed a lot in the last couple years. I'm pretty active at it, and I work in festivals and psychic fairs and conventions. I worked a couple weeks ago on a boat cruise, and this was kind of interesting. They hired me to work on a boat cruise, and when I showed up, nobody told me it was a birthday party for 14-year-old girls. So, oh, wow. And what's interesting is I thought, I can't be too heavy, you know, because these are kids, you know. But what's interesting about that is the place stone came up so prominent in all of their readings. And, of course, they're all living at home. And there was a strong thing with every one of them had a place stone in it. And I was noticing again with these 14-year-old girls how they were, they're getting boy crazy. You know, their hormones are going crazy. I could kind of see that in all of them, and trying to let them know that, hey, let this evolve on its own. Don't worry if this guy isn't in love with you right now. It's okay, girl. You got a lot of time, you know. So I was impressed by their innocence, and I was impressed by. I was impressed with the fact they actually listened. I was sort of like the entertainment, But once they started realizing I was actually talking about issues they were concerned with, one girl, I gave a lot of information to her about her family. It's a very, very difficult family situation she's going through, and I was trying to tell her how, you know, don't blame yourself. You know, you're the solution. You're not the problem, and you're going to understand more and more about this. And, boy, she was all ears because she needed to know this, and I could tell her this, and she was very grateful. But, yeah, what impressed me a lot about this 14-year-old girls was the love stuff with them, with their potential boyfriends or whatever, the fact that their boyfriend dumped them. That was always very strong in them, which, in women's readings, it tends to be stronger than in men's readings. We compartmentalize. But the play stone being so prominent, of course, they all live at home, you know.
All right. Well, you know what, Gary? Our time is pretty much winding up. We have like 1 minute. I want to thank you for coming on to the show and give you a chance to let our listeners know what you think they need to know about this subject and where they can get your books, website.
My website is GaryWimmer.com. That's GaryWimmer.com. They can click on the psychic link and they can see a lot of information about how I give a reading. From there, they can go to another link that has a lot of several excerpts from my book. I'm still in the process of doing my 278th edit of it. I tend to overwrite. I'm trying to condense it down a little bit. I'm talking to an agent right now. I may go through an agent or I may self-publish. I'm not sure, but it's one of these things. I started writing it 6 years ago, and I get into it and I put it off and do other things, but now I want to finish it, so I'm, like I said, trying to get some of the final edit out. It's not in print yet. It will be soon. And as soon as it is, I'll publish a link on it on my website. But GaryWimmer.com is where you can find information about that. Go to my psychic link. And I would love your readers to be curious about it. It's a very interesting technique. And if they're interested, they can give me a call on the phone. I'll do a reading for them. They can see how I do it. It's very clearly explained there.
Awesome. Very, very, very interesting stuff. Well, Gary, I want to thank you for coming on to the show. It's fascinating, fascinating stuff.
Thank you for having me, Preston. Good luck. And again, I'm very fascinated by what you've gone through, too. And I plan to read your book, especially this Out of Body Exploring. It's just been there, done that, and you and I both know it works.
You know it. All right, everyone. Well, that is our show for tonight. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight our guest has been Gary L. Wimmer, W-I-M-M-E-R, and we've been talking about his latest book, Lithomancy, The Psychic Art of Reading Stones. Very, very interesting stuff. Bet you haven't heard a lot about that before. So, very, very interesting. I want to thank you all for listening, and I hope you can join us next week when we bring on another exciting guest on UFOs and the paranormal. Until then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.